Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. Ooh. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, via Zoom, is...
Miss Sesame, Inspector, and Carter.
That's a good name. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a good name.
SSE. Or SSE, rather.
Yes. C. C.
Yeah. C. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So let's jump into this first. Okay, today on the show, we are covering episode 3 of Moon Knight, the Marvel and Disney Plus television series. It's called The Friendly Type, directed by Mohamed Diab, written by Bo DiMaio and Peter Cameron and Sabir Pirzada. Pirzada.
Whoa.
Yes. And this originally aired on April 13th, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Or streamed, whatever you want to call it. Initial thoughts here, Sesame.
Oh my god, I loved it so much. I'm not even joking. Like, this is giving me WandaVision vibes. Like, every episode was better than the last one.
Hmm.
like this is actually my favorite MCU series, I think, like, altogether. Like, I thought, like, I had, like, WandaVision at top always, and then there was Loki and stuff. I actually think this is my all-time favorite so far. Just because of the topic. You know, the fact that it's based off of, like, a lesser known character, but they've made, like, this character so cool, you know, in this version. You know, we're talking about Egyptian gods, we're going into Cairo. The suit's freaking amazing. I mean, I know Moon Knight sort of joked around as being like a cheap version of Batman, but I honestly think this suit looks way cooler than Batman's suit does.
I won't agree with you there, but I'm good. But that's just because I love Batman. But, okay, here's the thing with me on this episode. I'm not as enthusiastic as you are.
I think
it was a good episode, mind you. But it's my least favorite of the three so far.
Okay.
Mainly because I think a lot of it is just, like, spinning wheels. It's not really moving the plot as forward as... There's a lot of good action, a lot of good stuff happening, but it's not moving the plot forward as much as I wanted. That's just my initial feeling on it. I did only watch it once, because I normally watch them twice, but maybe if I saw it again, I would feel differently, but that's basically what I was feeling. I thought it was really good. I mean, I liked seeing, you know, what they were doing with, you know, taking the character to Egypt and stuff with them, you know, other avatars and things of that nature. But a lot of it just seemed like, oh, we're going to fight for the sake of fighting. You know, that's just my feeling on it. I do love the show and it is one of my favorites, but this is one of those, it just felt like a filler episode in a way. Like, if they would have cut this episode out, they probably could have still continued the story without it. Because the whole the whole MacGuffin of this episode just didn't seem like it needed to even be in the story. But, you know, that's my feeling on it, but we'll get into it more.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm normally, like, completely positive about everything when it comes to Marvel stuff, but this is, I mean, I'm not, and I love the show, don't get me wrong, and I think all the acting and even the writing's good, it's just there's a little lackluster feelings, like, where sometimes with these TV series is, after I rewatch them or feel things, like, some of the episodes just feel like we didn't necessarily need them. Same thing with, like, WandaVision all the way up to Hawkeye. There was a couple episodes here and there in each episode, in each season of these shows where I was kind of like, yeah, we could have skipped that over. We could have made that a 5-minute episode, you know, or part of another episode, you know?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. But maybe that's just my, I don't know, film school, writing sort of feelings, like, where I think a lot of times these shows feel like they took maybe a 3-hour movie and are stretching it to, like, 6 hours.
Like a 6-hour, yeah, like a series or whatever.
Yeah, like, where they could have maybe set everything they did with, like, 3 episodes as opposed to 6.
Mm. Okay.
And sometimes shorter is better. But
yeah,
that's just all, you know, conjecture. So, what happened in this episode here?
Oh, man. So we open up with a really cool scene where Layla is getting, you know, a fake passport made for her by, I think, her mom.
Well, it's never said. I don't know if I think that is her mom or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
By some woman, you know, who's basically got, like, you know, all this equipment. Apparently, it's really easy to make a fake passport, at least according to this episode, because all you need is a few tools and, you know, and whatever.
And a backdrop and
a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Layla's, like, you know, like, in between, you know, shots of her, like, smiling or whatever, she's just telling her, you know, the whole story of, like, meeting up with Mark, but then, you know, as Steven, who's, like, only lived like 20 minutes away from, you know, where they lived in London or whatever. And we kind of get a little bit of her backstory about her, how her dad was killed during one of, like, their like dig sites or whatever.
And we learned that her home is Egypt.
That's where she was born. Cause her name is Layla Abdullah. I forgot the last part of the name. Also, another interesting thing. See, I've been forgetting to mention this for the past two of our episodes. So, her name is Layla, right? All right. So, there's a really famous story in Sufi Islam by the poet Rumi.
Okay.
Who was also an Islamic scholar.
Yeah.
As well. But he was also, like, a mystic. And he had a story called Layla and Majnun. And Majnun means insane or mad in Arabic. And the story was that there's this guy who they called Majnun because he was basically mentally ill. He pretty much kept to himself. He was a recluse. You know, the only time he would leave his house was if he needed to, like, you know, just work for a few hours to, you know, buy food or whatever. But other than that, he didn't really do much. And, you know, he's really depressed and stuff like that. And he was, because he was obsessed or he was in love with this woman named Layla. I guess, I'm not sure if she was a past lover of his or if it was just someone that he was enamored by. I don't know. I don't remember all the details. And the only reason I bring this up is because I think there's some symbolism going on because one of the, eventually he goes outside at night, I think, and he's just kind of wandering around, just going for like a nighttime walk by himself. And these guards or policemen start chasing him. And, you know, so he starts running from them because he has no idea, you know, why they're chasing them. And sorry, I got a frog in my throat. And or a crocodile in my throat, rather. No. And he, you know, he's probably paranoid as well, you know, from the mental illness. So he's, you know, running away from these guys. And he eventually ends up scaling a wall, like a really high wall. And then there's, behind that wall, there's a garden. And then that Layla was just standing there, like, almost waiting for him. And then, like, he was finally, like, reunited with her. So I think it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about a show about a guy who has dissociative identity disorder, and his wife is named Layla. I gotta believe that's not a coincidence, you know? And
I mean, she's based on a different character in the comics who has a completely different name, so it's probably makes sense that they chose this name on purpose for the show.
Right, and especially in this episode, too, we literally have Mark, or possibly a third personality, literally jumping off of rooftops and scaling walls. So it's like,
yeah,
I really wonder if this is on purpose. So that's what happens. So Layla gets her fake pads. Really cool scene. You know, it kind of lasts for like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Just see the whole process of her, how the passport's being made. You know, they got the stamps and they got this little thing where
and it gave time for them to talk about a bunch of, you know, backstory and stuff.
Yeah, it really made it feel kind of natural because you're watching all this other stuff going on. And at one point, the lady officer, I think Marshmallow, but it also could be Turkish Delight. I'm not sure. It looked like a marshmallow to me. But
like a marshmallow to me, but then I saw some people call it Turkish Delight. So
yeah, I'm not sure exactly what that would be, but that would kind of be cool because of the whole Falcon the Winter Soldier thing with the Turkish Delight, you know. That was, you know, Zemo's favorite and his kids' favorites. And so she gets her passport done. She goes off to Cairo. And then we go into what we assume is Mark scaling rooftops and, you know, jumping off of buildings and stuff to find something. And, you know, we find that, you know, just as he gets to the building that he needs to be, these two guys that just kill someone. And then he's like, oh man, you killed that guy. I was gonna talk to that guy. I guess I'll talk to you. And the only reason I think this is because the way he was acting didn't sound like Mark. He sounded a little bit more cocky and arrogant than Mark does.
So well, my feeling is I think when he blacked out, he wasn't Mark. I think when he was awake, he was Mark.
I don't know. Just to me, the way he was when he's like, "Oh, what are we doing? We dancing?" I don't know. Just like Mark so far has like been really, really serious, and this. I don't know, had a more, like, playfulness to it. But, you know,
Mark did, you know, in the one episode have the you look like a psychopathic Colonel Sanders or whatever line and stuff. So he does have humor, so, you know.
Like a sense of humor, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe it could have been him. Maybe just he was like, excited and he was in a new city and stuff
because,
like that.
Like, he blacks out, and then I think whatever the third personality is actually who killed those people. Because I doubt highly it was Steven. So
definitely not. Because at one point Steven, because you know he's got the knife up to this guy's throat, and then Steven's, you know, pleading with Mark not to kill the guy, and then that's when he blacks out, and all of a sudden he's in a cab, which is interesting because the third personality might be
a cab driver,
who was a cab driver in the comics, and he's sitting in the back of the cab though. And then he goes, he sees those two guys, and like, he's like, just let us go, like, you know, he's like I want to talk to you two or whatever. And then
also at one point, Oscar Isaac's character, whoever it was at the time, is wearing a black Chicago Cubs hat.
Oh,
interesting. And the cab driver was from Chicago.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool.
So.
I like that. That's a really cool symbol. So he gets out of the car, doesn't pay the cab driver, you know, basically hunts these guys down, and then get into another fight scene. Then they end up hitting him in the head, but when he falls down to the ground, he blacks out again, and then he wakes up, and he had just stabbed the guy in the head, killed him. And he thought Steven did it. He's like, Steven, what did you do? And he's like, me? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not the killer here, like, you know.
Yeah, that's you.
It's like, well, it wasn't me then. Who was it? So it's like, now we got a third alter, you know, which is probably the J guy or whatever his name is. Which, again, much different in the comic books because he wasn't really violent mercenary. Like basically, like, we're making this new altar to be even more,
yeah,
like, merciless than Mark.
That is, if that's what the character is, who knows? They might even have another new one or a different one. Or
be a different, because that was changed so much from the comics anyway. So
yeah,
you know.
Plus, you have so many different variations of the character in the comics that you could pull from anything. Just change names and stuff.
Yeah. So that's what basically we got set up, you know. So
yeah.
You want to talk about what else is going on?
So we go to Arthur and his team arriving at the spot where the tomb of Ahmet is supposedly at, where it's buried. They are then aware of Mark Spector's arrival there. So we already had that was like right before we had the whole situation where he is chasing on the rooftops people.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he was in the back of a cab at one point heading for the airport and having no idea how he got there. While he's in the cab, he spots those men that he fought, chases them down. And he loses consciousness again, re-waking to find two of them are dead, like you said. Which, it's not good. And, no. Wanting to know who the hell did it. So Khonshu believes he will... that the young man that's left of the three will talk, but he ends up killing himself in the name of Harrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so, this is, like you said, we think there might be a third personality here, which there has to be. Mm-hmm. Nothing else really makes any sense.
Right.
So Khonshu believes that they might be able to get help from the gods after creating an eclipse. The gods decide to meet inside one of the pyramids of Giza. So we have all these avatars for the different gods there. We have, I might butcher some of these names. We have the avatars for the Egyptian gods Hathor, Osiris, Horus, Isis, and Difnut.
I think it was Tefnut.
Tefnut, it begins with a D, but maybe it's pronounced with a T. So we're told, much like in the Eternals, that these gods don't use their abilities to help out humans. They're there as like observers, just like the freaking Eternals were. So.
Right, like a Tiamat,
So they're the Egyptian gods do not interfere with the world of humans, but they try to pass on their skills and abilities in the times that they need them through their avatars. Which is kind of similar to the whole idea of progressive revelation from God, too. But anyways,
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And of course, Ahmet's not there. Well, that's the thing I don't understand. So, like, do they not know that Arthur Harrow is Ahmet's avatar?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
All right. Yeah, because they basically summon Khonshu because he did something he's not supposed to do. And then
he was getting called to the principal's office sort of thing.
Yeah, and then they basically threaten him, like, if you do this again, we're gonna like, put you in stone for real this time. Like, you know, because I guess Ahmet committed a greater crime than he did, because they actually just, like, completely banished her, like not just to Earth, but, like, they put her in stone, whereas they just banished Khonshu to Earth so he could just, like, roam around, I guess, or whatever. So that should be interesting to see later on if there's going to be, like, a backstory about about that, of why she got a greater punishment than than he did, you know. But so she must have done something worse than he did, or I don't know. But
yeah, it's like, so they don't want, but regardless, they don't want Khonshu to like fuck up again and do anything that like brings attention to them.
Right, which, you know, banishing him to Earth so that he can have avatars doesn't seem like the greatest idea.
No.
Though, because, like, he's had avatars forever. Like Mark's not the only avatar. Like, he's been having these things go on for, like, thousands of years, you know?
That's like trying to put 1984 Tommy Lee in a church and not expect him to make a scene.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, anyways, the, so Khonshu was trying to, you know, warn the gods about Arthur Harrow and his actions, but they don't believe him for some reason, which I don't understand. They're freaking gods. Do they not see the, I don't know. Anyway, so
I think because they despise Khonshu so much that I think they just don't,
they think he's like making shit up.
They just don't trust him. Yeah. Like they might think he's just got a grudge. You know, maybe there's some history between him and Ahmet.
And it could be the boy who cried wolf sort of scenario.
Yeah, so maybe Ahmet... Well, you know, there is a fact that Khonshu and Ahmet have different ideas of what justice means. And so maybe they fought a lot about, or argued a lot about that, and then, you know, so maybe there's just like some bad blood between them, you know, because Khonshu... According to Arthur, Khonshu's judgment comes too late because a crime has already been committed, whereas Ahmet just wants to just like kill the person before they even commit the crime. You know, so Khonshu's by no means like a nice god. He's very mean and cruel, but like that just shows you like how much more hardcore Ahmet is. If Khonshu's like, oh, that's too far, like you know.
And so then we end up with the gods, like they summon Harrow to the principal's office too, and to find out, you know, who threw the first punch, sort of thing. And he tells them, you know, that Khonshu is not well, that he's his avatar is going by two different names, and the gods aren't pleased with this, and so they allow Harrow to go bye-bye.
Like, yeah, just, all right.
Yeah.
I did think what's interesting, though, about this is how how compassionately they're treating mental illness in this show. And, like, even, too, like, we get into, like, stuff about religious abuse, where, like, they're, like, saying, like, you know, you're safe here. Like you can talk to us if you feel like you're being like abused or exploited by Khonshu. So like we're getting into like deep stuff because like there's things like religious abuse really happen. Like,
well, yeah.
Like if you're like in a cult or if you're even in like a mainstream religion, and like your parents or either your religious leader is very like abusive towards you or exploits you. Like they're getting into like some really deep, like almost like therapeutic, like, because like Hoffer is the one that even said, you could see how concerned she was, where she's like yeah, you're safe here, like you can tell us if you feel exploited by Khonshu, like, you know.
Yeah. which is good. I mean, it's very, you know, symbolic of priests or cult leaders and stuff like that that take advantage of their position. Hathor remains within her avatar and tells Mark that in order to find Ahmet's tomb, he needs to find another tomb of the Medjay Senfu.
Yeah, Senfu.
Yeah. And Mark doesn't know where to find it, but Layla does. So, do you want to take a quick break here, and then we'll talk about the rest of this episode?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
No Outlet Live. Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explore any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And just like baseball in Cleveland, we are back.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, I'm just saying that because baseball started recently this week.
Is that a phrase, baseball in Cleveland?
No, I just decided to say it because I read an article recently about the Guardians.
I was wondering if that was like an actual like phrase or something. Like,
it should be.
Like, just like baseball in Cleveland, we're back. Like,
yes. Yeah. And like I've mentioned to you online, I was reading an article and I thought it was funny that people were saying that they thought it was really cool that the Cleveland Guardians, along with all the rest of baseball, were the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same sentence, they complained about the fact that the name was changed from the Indians to the Guardians.
Right. Wait, was Jackie Robinson, did he play for the Indians?
No, he was, as every team in baseball wears 42 at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, in honor of him. So, like, no matter what team you're playing, everybody's 42.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, off of baseball here, folks. And back to, you know, Harrow and his cronies. So, anyways, Mark and Layla meet up, and they reminisce about their marriage, which I guess appeared to be a happy one until something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark confesses that he didn't want to tell her about Steven and his DID, because he was hoping that they could rekindle their love and, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Kind of afraid what she would do, you know, her reaction to it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, a marriage is supposed to be based on trust and
honesty.
You know, if you're not telling your partner that you have an illness, I mean, you're leaving out a big part of your life, you know, from that person, and she was obviously very hurt by, you know, the fact that he just kept that from her. You know, she said, you know, we could have worked on this together, and, you know, stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, well, that's not what I do, is it, or whatever, you know. I'm a lone wolf, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah. And so we have, they end up finding out that this tomb that they need to go to is owned by this guy, Anton Mogart, who's a wealthy antiquities collector living in Egypt and an old acquaintance of Layla's, played by the now late Gaspard Ulliel. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a French actor who sadly died shortly after filming this.
That's so sad. He was really young, too. And
yeah, he was pretty young. He was like, how old is he? He's...
probably in his early 30s, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little older than that. He was born in 84, so.
Yeah, like late 30s. Yeah, was they know what he died from, or was it just natural causes?
He died. On January 18th of this year, he was critically injured while skiing.
Oh.
Yeah, in France. He collided with another skier at an intersection between two slopes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he suffered a serious brain trauma, which then ended up dying from.
Okay.
Yeah. So that sucks.
Yeah.
I liked him. He was in, he played Hannibal Lecter in the the movie Hannibal Rising.
Really?
Yeah, he was a young Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, like the little kid version.
No, like he was...
I mean, not the little kid version. No,
like the teens and 20s. You
okay.
Know?
Yeah. I saw that movie when it came out in the theater. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I know him most from, so... But then I'm a big fan of the Hannibal Lecter movies and TV shows and stuff.
That was a crazy movie, Hannibal Rising. Uh-huh. When like, he threw that one guy in like the what was it, the fluid, the shit. You know, he was like in a science thing. He was the.
It's been so many years since I've seen it, so I don't remember.
I think he threw the guy in like the embalming fluid or some shit like. Like, he was taking revenge on all the people that killed his brother, his sister. Anyway.
Fucked up character. But, yeah. But entertaining. Anyways, so... Anton's very untrustworthy of things. Mm-hmm. So they pretend to be a married couple to observe the sarcophagus. Through the reflective glass, Stephen is talking to Mark and trying to help him put together several pieces of like a map to the stars. Mm-hmm. Not like one of those ones that you take when you're in Hollywood to go see where the stars live.
No.
Okay. Just making sure that this map wouldn't like tell me where Matt Damon's house is or something.
No. I mean, not unless he's got some connection to like, you know, Egyptian gods or whatever, but
okay. Just checking. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So,
other than that, no.
So it's basically a map of the stars, not to the stars. Anyways. Yeah. So, so Harrow arrives, and he reveals the power of Amit to Anton by using his cane.
Cane, man!
Yeah. And then he also hints that Mark knows what actually happened to Layla's now-deceased father.
Yeah.
Mark becomes Moon Knight... And for some odd reason, they decide that they need to fight inside this big jousting ring that we saw at the beginning when we first met Anton.
Right.
That was convenient. Anyway, so...
yeah, it's convenience magic.
So they're fighting in this thing, and Mark basically kills everybody. Led to believe that he killed Anton as well.
But... He threw a... I mean, we don't know, but... Yeah,
because we heard him. I'm curious if Anton's going to come back in a future episode or not.
Well, I heard that he might be based on a character called Midnight Man, which is...
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's the same name.
Oh, okay. But, so, yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to use that character the same way in the MCU that they did in the comics. You know, like they have... Because they have, you know, had people with just... happen to have the same name as a character in the comics, and having their powers or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Harrow, for example, I mean, he was in one issue.
Yeah.
And he was like, he worked for the Nazis or something, and
he's more of a throwaway character.
And then, yeah, they just totally changed it to, like, a cult leader. That's the other thing, too, about how, like, Arthur, like, the Amit cult has people in, like, at least... three countries that we know of: Germany, England, and now Egypt. How is no one knowing like this? Like, how is this not like, you know, being observed? Like,
and I'm assuming they probably have followers in America too, because Harrow has an American accent. So,
like, it's like a universal cult going on. Nobody knows about.
That'd be like, you know, trying to, you know, it'd be like somebody not ever hearing of Islam.
Right,
or
exactly.
Scientology or something, if you want to go with like a smaller religion.
Yeah, know? I mean, well, everyone knows about Scientology, just the name, you know, but. And the fight scene's pretty cool, though. I really like that.
I will give you that. It was really kind of cool. They had like a. jousting spears going through him. We also found out that his cape is bulletproof.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And when he went up in the air, his cape was shaped like a crescent moon.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sweet.
That was cool. Yeah, because I like it when he threw the bullets back at all the shooters. That was really sweet. And I do like the part, though, too, where Steven takes over the body, and then he's got his own version of the suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, everyone, like, let's just take a beat. Let's chill the F out. And then they throw, like, one of those things at him. He's like, take the body, Mark. Take the... like...
Anyways, later we got... Okay, so taking the pieces, Mark allows Steven to take over the body. And he figures out the pieces are a map guided by the stars. But the stars are from a different time period, thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And have since moved.
Right.
So the map isn't really good. It's like trying to use MapQuest right now.
yeah.
Yes. Or even when, you know, probably about 10 or 15 years ago when I was trying to get somewhere in the city of Findlay and where I am right now. And it's like, yeah, just turn down the street and you go down that street and there's like a river going through it.
No, that literally happened to me with MapQuest. MapQuest literally told me to drive into like
a creek or a river.
Yeah, like that happened to me once. So it's like,
yeah, happened to me years ago. Anyway, so luckily we were able to go around and try to figure out a way, but it was still like, what the hell? So they need to figure out how to, you know, figure out what the stars looked like, you know, thousands of years ago. Which, you know, Khonshu says he can do because he, you know, was there. Or they could have probably found an app on their iPhone that could have done it for him. But,
yeah, maybe.
Just saying. Pretty sure that there's one I could find on there right now.
Yeah, but come on, it's so much cooler to, like, break the laws of physics and...
Yeah.
You know, have Khonshu
get in trouble with the gods.
Because he had Steven doing it, not Mark. So that was, you know.
Yeah, he's like, he really knows what the worm is good for. So it's like, you know.
So he's like showing a little bit more, giving Steven a little bit more responsibility now. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. That was a cool thing, though.
But anyways, he changes the sky to look like that, and that ends up, letting the gods know that he's, you know, thrown another punch to another kid or something, and he needs to go to the principal's office again, but this time for a worse punishment. So they, Layla is unable to is able to find the location of Ahmet's tomb, but the gods decide to turn Khonshu into stone.
Yeah.
And he makes one last request to Mark before he's turned to stone. He says, "Find a way to free me." You know, so.
Yeah, he says. We tell Steven, tell Mark to free me.
Yeah.
Without any powers, mind you, because now he doesn't have the protection, or at least we don't think he does.
Maybe there's an iPhone app for that too.
There could be a Moon Knight app, the Moon Knight app that allows you to have access to the suit, even without Khonshu's help. Yeah, the gods, they went by their threat that they said, you know, they do. And I do love this scene, though, like, where Hyrule's like, we learned so much more about, like, basically Khonshu, like, broke Arthur Hyrule. Like, he literally says, like, he enjoyed, like, inflicting pain on other people, and that was like because of like Khonshu like gave him that opportunity basically, and he's like, he said like that's like the greatest sin that I have to carry. So it kind of goes back a little bit to the whole in the first episode where he's putting glass in his shoes. It's almost like he's like, this is his like almost act of like repentance, like he's going through pain.
Which is interesting because in the sound design of the show, you can hear the glass when he steps.
Yeah, and it's like again, like I really believe he's a true believer. And the thing is, too, I think when he says like that's my greatest sin, you know, I would not be able to, you know, understand what healing meant, and like I do think that he thinks there's a possibility that Amit will judge him unworthy, but that he's such a believer that he's willing to like accept that almost. Like he's like he hates Khonshu so much for what he did to him that it's like he's almost willing to be a sacrifice to his new god. Like you know what I'm getting at? Like
yeah.
I don't know. But like I'm just wondering if it's gonna go that way, because it seems like he's very stoic. You know, he's a true believer. Like
you see, in a way, I think it's very similar to like drug addiction,
mm-hmm.
where he was addicted to the power and everything that Khonshu gave him,
mm-hmm.
and now he's, you know, wanting to fill that void again, but without
right.
it,
but,
you know.
But he only uses your power sparingly, though.
But what I'm saying is I think he's trying to fill it, but also repent for the previous things that he's done. It's like,
right,
you know, it's not yeah. it's not like a one for one sort of, you know, flip, but he still needs to have somebody in control of him, and yeah. he doesn't seem to want to have free will.
Right, yeah, because Ahmed just takes it away completely,
and that way he can't be blamed for his own actions too.
Right, yeah, because now he's you know, working, you know, on behalf of Amit. But like, I just got this feeling that, because when he mentioned the fact that he enjoyed inflicting pain on people on behalf of Khonshu, and then he called that his greatest sin, and that he has to carry for the rest of his life, and then we know that he literally walks on glass all day long. Like, it's like he keeps that in mind constantly. Like, he's never not thinking about the fact that he used to like kill people like violently, and he liked it, you know. And
yeah,
it's interesting. And that's you can see it in his eyes. I mean, he's like holding a statue, and he's like tears in his eyes, and he's like saying like, "Had you not broken me completely, I never would have known what healing was." And but then he got really dark, where he's like, now I'll be able to do what you couldn't do, and all this kind of stuff. And like,
yeah, because I mean, it's still like, who is the villain here? You know, that's the other thing too.
It's saying that Khonshu. Yeah. It's like, okay, so like we learn that there's like even in the first episode, when we see Steven's apartment or flat, we see one of the books he's reading, and it talks about the rift between the gods and man, and then we learned a little bit more about that, where Khonshu said that he refused to abandon humanity, whereas all the other gods did. And they said, oh no, it's humanity's who abandoned us, or whatever. And then so, like, I think with Khonshu, it's that he might not be a villain, but I think it's that he knows that the stakes are so great that he just pushes his avatars to their absolute breaking point, because he's like impatient, like the work needs to get done, doesn't matter. Like, it's almost like a drill sergeant who just like breaks someone way too completely, and they just start crying, they can't handle it anymore, you know, like,
yeah,
that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm. And that he himself, you know, is kind of a broken god, you know, as well. So that, because Arthur himself said that Khonshu was unhinged, and then he chose someone else who's got a mental disorder to be his avatar, probably for the same reason, you know, that he himself is, like, quote, broken or whatever. And even like his body, you can even see his head is like barely tethered to like some kind of string. Mm-hmm. Like his body's not even completely like intact. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of interesting symbolism in this show, basically, is what I'm getting.
Yeah. So, I've read online and also heard on some podcasts and stuff that of people that got the first four episodes to review, that okay. number four is supposed to be like damn good.
Okay.
Like some major things happen. Like these are, you know, like people that work for press.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, you know, they'll give press like screenings ahead of time of certain things. But with okay. like an embargo that they're not allowed to like reveal anything.
Right.
And spoil things. But they did. But I have heard like almost unanimously that of the four episodes that they were given, episode four is the best. So, awesome. So I can't wait to see that. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Cool.
Anyways, any other final thoughts here?
Not really. Just like let's see if I covered everything. Yeah, I covered the Majnun and Layla story, the religious abuse aspect of it, where the gods are basically like, you know, asking the avatars, you know, if they because like all the other avatars are, you know, their work is really not much work. I mean, all they do is observe shit.
I'm just wondering. How they picked these avatars.
I don't, yeah, it just depends on like their personality or
And they seem like they were from different parts of the world. So
yeah.
Do the gods have like a deal with like Delta Airlines or something? Or,
I mean, they might, you know, you know, oh, I did see one video where they talked about how there may have, because like Hoth already kind of implied that her and Khonshu used to be lovers. And apparently she was the goddess of the sky and he's the god of the moon. So that's kind of an interesting, you know, kind of thing. This one guy did have a theory.
That would mean that she, in a way that would be like, she's greater than him because the sky.
Yeah.
The moon is only part of the sky when the sky is the sky.
Exactly. So maybe there's something going on, but this one of the guys from New Rock Stars, I forgot, it was the African-American guy. I don't know his name. I don't even know the name of the like the regular guy.
I think the African-American guy's like Bo or something.
Okay. Well, he's kind of been taken over a little bit. He's kind of having a greater now on his channel. And he had a theory, which I don't know if I agree with it, but I kind of understand why he thinks it's true. But he thinks that when Khonshu turned back the stars to like 3,000 years ago, then like that means like everyone who was alive back then is now returned, which I'm like, well, wouldn't that then mean that like people would literally be like on top of each other and like houses that were built?
That would make no sense.
You know, like, but he had a whole video about it, but I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that.
No, because that'd be weird. Thing I was thinking about too is I'm just wondering, like, during the blip that Thanos did in the movies, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that the body of Mark Spector was still here.
Yeah.
But I wonder, did either of the personalities get blipped out?
Oh, see, that would be really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, because it could have been like depending on who was like out at that time or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And my whole thing too, my own other main point to finish off with, to me, just for me at least, is so like these are like the Egyptian gods and stuff, and you know the Egyptian gods are part of the MCU, and that they kind of live like in their own sort of like portal division or pocket dimension or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, we also have the Celestials, and the Celestials are, like, huge, so it's, like, are these, like, lesser gods than the Celestials? Like, the Celestials, like, the head gods, because, like, they literally are the size of planets, like...
And you also have the Asgardians.
the Asgardians, but I would think a Celestial is probably more powerful than them. Because
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, do we have different degrees or what? You know,
that's what I'm starting to wonder if the Celestials are like the top gods, or if they're even like a god above them. You know, like just like a supreme godhead who's just like oversees the entire universe, or is like the entire universe just as like one, you know, entity or whatever. We'll see. I have seen some videos where you talk about how
I'm still waiting for the end of Mark Maron's End Times Fun stand up thing to play out, and we'll have another god come and Jesus will be here, and
I love that where he's like Iron Man's like holding them like wicked. It's like, all right, so I guess we save the. And he's like, well, so what are you gonna do? He's like, I don't know. He's like, and Iron Man's like, so what? You want to be an Avenger? Is that what you're trying to say? And he's like, I don't know, maybe. He's like, all right, I guess you can be an Avenger.
I just thought I'd bring up our friend Jesus because tomorrow is the day that he rose, and
yes, tomorrow's Easter.
Yeah, as we record this, at least.
Tomorrow's Easter Sunday, and you know, Jesus Christ was killed, buried, rose from the dead 3 days later, mm-hmm. and now resides as the right hand of God. I mean, that's standard, you know, Christian doctrine.
Yeah,
and he's, you know, he's a peaceful God that, you know, apparently a lot of, you know, people don't seem to realize anymore because they'd rather have a Jesus that's like violent. But that's a whole other thing. Anyway.
Yes. riding a dinosaur with a machine gun. And, but that's okay. So, I have no other comments on this episode here. Everybody have a good day, night, afternoon, whatever it is when you're listening to this. Be good to each other above anything. You know, do good, be good, wear a mask if you still have to, wear a condom, and wear a cape with a crescent moon shape. That's awesome. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.